Salam sejahtera, anda bersama saya Rizal Zulkafli dan ini Niaga Awani. Kita mulakan dengan sedikit perkembangan luar negara. Sahabat di pasaran Asia dijangka tinggi dalam dagangan hari ini sesudah peningkatan di Wall Street. Saham di Wall Street ditutup tinggi pada hari pertama pentadbiran Presiden Joe Biden. Dalam masa yang sama, dagangan turut disokong saham berkaitan saham tinggal di rumah.
Biden turut menandatangani 17 arahan eksekutif untuk mengubah legasi yang ditinggalkan bekas Presiden Trump sebelum ini. Menurut laporan Reuters, pelabur kini ingin memulakan lembaran baru dan pasaran mendapat manfaat daripada sikap optimis tersebut. Sejak 2017, pentadbiran Trump telah saksikan peningkatan 57% untuk indeks Dow Jones dan 68% untuk indeks S&P 500. Pelabur kini menunggu keputusan korporat lebih banyak syarikat teknologi yang dijangka diumum minggu depan untuk tentukan sama ada penilaian semasa mereka adalah tepat. Pada penutup, indeks Dow Jones naik 211 mata, S&P 500 naik 51 mata dan Nasdaq naik 259 mata.
Dan selepas angkat sumpah sebagai Presiden ke-46 Amerika, Joe Biden menandatangani 17 arahan eksekutif untuk menamatkan polisi yang dilancarkan Presiden Donald Trump. Antara yang dinantikan ramai adalah fokus baru untuk pulihkan ekonomi terbesar dunia itu dan juga pengurusan COVID-19 di Amerika.
Arahan eksekutif ini termasuk kembali menjalinkan kerjasama dengan Organisasi Kesihatan Sedunia WHO susulan penarikan keluar Amerika Syarikat oleh Trump pada Mei lepas. Ini dilihat penting memandangkan Amerika adalah negara dengan kes COVID-19 tertinggi dunia. Arahan eksekutif lain termasuk mewajibkan semua orang memakai pelitup muka di bangunan kerajaan persekutuan. Arahan eksekutif lain adalah menghentikan pemilik hartanah dan bank daripada menghalau penyewa dan pembeli yang gagal membayar sewa dan gadai janji. Biden terus lanjutkan penggantungan pembayaran balik hutang pinjaman pendidikan persekutuan dan faedah sehingga 30 September tahun ini. Ini penting kerana ketika ini, lebih 10.7 juta warga Amerika masih menganggur akibat COVID-19. Biden terus bawa Amerika kembali menyertai perjanjian hentikan perubahan iklim, kenakan standard pelepasan gas dan penjimatan minyak lebih ketat untuk kenderaan persekutuan, hentikan pembinaan tempoh sempadan antara Amerika dan Mexico, hentikan larangan kemasukan pengembara dari beberapa negara dengan penduduk majoriti Islam dan mengira jumlah penduduk bukan warga negara dalam banci Amerika. Biden turut menggesa semakkan seluruh kerajaan untuk memastikan kesaksamaan kaum dan menghalang diskriminasi di tempat kerja. Sementara itu, Biden dijangka mempunyai jalan mudah untuk meluluskan agenda baru termasuk pelan rancangan bernilai $1.9 trilion melihat kepada Dewan Senat dan perwakilan yang mempunyai kelebihan ahli Demokrat.
Dan bersama kita untuk membincangkan berkenaan lembaran baru di Amerika dan kesannya kepada pemulihan ekonomi dan pertumbuhan ekonomi global, kita bersama dengan Ketua Pakar Ekonomi JUI IQI, Shan Syed. Shan, thank you for joining us. Now, Shan, what does President Joe Biden mean for global economy and trade? We know he announced a $1.9 trillion stimulus package, but how will that help with growth and the recovery in the U.S. and also perhaps globally?
I doubt that President Biden's fiscal stimulus is going to spur growth in U.S. or in the global economy. Because most of the people who are receiving money from the government in U.S., they're actually lowering the debts. So the economy is not moving, it's in the deleveraging mode. So whenever you have deleveraging, the economy goes into subpar growth because that money is not coming into the system. It is not creating momentum. So I think Joe Biden is not going to make any difference to the American economy or for that matter, global economy. For global economy, I think Joe Biden is not good because he is a big believer of defense spending. We might see some geopolitical risk in various regions. So I'm not excited with President Biden's presidency.
Let's go a bit deeper to what he did on his first day in office. Today, he signed an executive order to revoke a permit granted to Keystone XL, an oil and gas company. Is he business friendly? What can be expected from his presidency, seeing that he's a Democrat?
I think he is following the same playbook when he was a vice president during Obama's administration. So I think Democrats, they love doing legislation. They come up with more laws. That hurts the business because the businesses, they don't like interference. And Democrats are in the habit of coming up with new laws and regulation. And when you give too much dictation and lectures to the market players, they get disappointed and they get very, very cautious. So I think with Joe Biden is not a big fan of shale gas. I think he did the same. So the cost of production in U.S. will go up and U.S. will cut down on shale gas production and they will import more globally. So that clearly sends a signal that the administration is not very business friendly and they will have more legislation and that is going to hurt the business in the long run.
You don't seem to share this optimism that is coming out of the U.S. Tell us why.
I think we have seen his previous stunt when he was a vice president. I think he doesn't have the economic strategy to turn around. That's why I don't get excited when people are saying Joe Biden is going to turn around the U.S. economy and he will be good for the global economy. I doubt, because he was going to reverse all the policies that President Trump did. Whether we like it or not, President Trump was from the market. He was an entrepreneur. He created that environment. He created those policies where business could flourish. On the other hand, Joe Biden is more toward social policies. Social policies are not going to help the business. The businesses want friendly policies. They want less legislation, and they want free markets. But at the moment, I think we are heading towards a socialist society in U.S.
But socialist is such a big word to use to describe what's happening in the U.S., right? I mean, President Trump left with 10.7 million people unemployed, unemployment rate at 6.7%, a trade war with China. What do you make of that? And can Biden actually change all that, or will Biden keep status quo?
I think he is going to maintain the status quo. The rhetoric with China will continue, and the containment China policy will remain in the short run because it's a challenge now, because there's a vacuum globally. And the world economy is looking towards China for diplomatic brinkmanship. They are looking towards China to take economic leadership because U.S. is struggling with unemployment rates so high. They're struggling in COVID. So I don't think that Joe Biden is going to change his policy towards China, and that rhetoric will go even higher in this year as well.
But Democrats now control both House of Representatives and the Senate. Will this make it easier for Biden to make structural changes to the economy?
On paper, yes, but there are so many things that the American economy is facing right now. The country is divided. There's a huge polarization going on. The major issue U.S. economy is facing is productivity. A lot of people who are unemployed are the ones who are not productive. So when people are not productive, how they're going to contribute to the overall economy? So I think the challenges will remain, not only this year, but also for the next 2 years, Joe Biden will have very tough time handling the U.S. economy.
Let's talk a bit more about the trade war with China. Will this end the trade war with China? I know you mentioned no earlier, but could you please go deeper as to why you don't think this, Biden will not end the trade war with China?
It's very simple. For the West and for Americans, it's not easy to accept China as a leader. But whether we like it or not, China has done remarkable economic miracle in the last 40 years. They have got 800 million people out of poverty. Their GDP just crossed 100 trillion yuan, which is roughly like 15.5 trillion US dollars. So I think the narrative is very simple: to control China and not to let China take the lead in the global economy. So I think US will continue to have the containment policy and they will have more legislation and tariffs for Chinese companies and for Chinese economy in the long run.
What can we expect in the South, in the ASEAN region?
For ASEAN region, it is very important because the economy is $3 trillion. The total population of ASEAN is 630 million people. Nobody can ignore this part of the world. So U.S. will continue to have engagement strategy in this part of the world because the economies are booming. You have Vietnam, you have Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand. These are the major economies that are leading from the front. and they have done much better in terms of COVID control policy as compared to many economies in the West. So I think for ASEAN, the engagement strategy will remain, and they want to be the part of that success story of the economic trajectory for the region.
Finally, BNM maintained the status quo, maintained the OPR at 1.75%. Good or disappointing for market players? I know market players were quite divided when it comes to discussing the OPR before it was announced yesterday. Tell us more about this 1.75%. And Bank Negara also stated that domestic growth will depend on global recovery and vaccination program, and domestic growth would pick up in quarter two.
Absolutely. I think Bank Negara has taken a status quo because the government already announced 15 billion ringgit of stimulus package. So Bank Negara wants to take a backseat in terms of monetary policy, and they want to gauge how the economy actually reacts to this fiscal side. So I think both policies are not required. Let the fiscal side take the shape, and let's see how the economy moves ahead. In terms of MCO, last MCO, many sectors were locked. This time around, five sectors and many industries have been given relaxation. So Bank Negara has taken this position. So how the economy is going to react with this fiscal policy, and what will be the way forward for the economy after the second quarter? First quarter, yes, we can expect a major contraction, but I think the economy should pick up in the second quarter.
For major other contraction question, in the first quarter?
We can expect contraction in the first quarter, but second quarter we can expect economy to move as MCO is finished. We can expect economies to move much faster as compared to quarter one. As far as your question is concerned, that Bank Negara is saying that how global economy is going to recover, I think this is absolutely a bullseye, I would say, policy response. Yes, Malaysia, Malaysian people, Malaysian government and DG Health have been trying their best to control virus. It is much better over here as compared to many economies. Let's say, for example, Belgium, France, UK, where governments are struggling and they don't have the policy response how to control. So for global investors, it is very important to see how the policy response has been going and how effective the governments are in order to control this virus. So I think Bank Negara, what he's saying, is absolutely spot on.
On that note, we thank you very much, Shan Syed, Ketua Pakar Ekonomi Jual IQI, membincangkan berkenaan dengan acara angkat sumpah Presiden Joe Biden, kesan kepada ekonomi Amerika dan juga berkenaan dengan kadar OPR yang diumumkan Bank Negara semalam. Kita akan berehat seketika kembali selepas ini.